Hello, gentle listener.
Ew. Hello and welcome to Gender Forking, a Twilight Saga podcast.
Second episode of the second season of Gender Forking. We have started reading Twilight today. Yep. I have a towel around my head right now, and It's making my ears... Okay, there we go. I'm going to bring it over my ears.
Wow, huge elf vibes.
Huge elf vibes. Coming to you today from the Lyman Spa and Inn.
We just dyed our hair.
We are damp and... We are fresh and our hair is dark.
Yep, we are ready to rumble.
Mm-hmm. What's the weather in Forks?
The Forks cast for today is... The Forks cast for today is it's 64 degrees and partly cloudy. The sun hasn't even set yet, which is wild because over there it's like 8:15 p.m.
Huh.
And
it's like pretty north.
Yeah. It's going to get into the low 50s tonight, and earlier today it was 79, so toasty.
When's high tide?
You know, high tide is not really any of her business, frankly.
Wow. All right, well, I guess I'm going to have to get my forecast information elsewhere. But yeah, we started reading Twilight today.
We did.
It was great.
It was great. I also bought the Eclipse soundtrack today.
We went to a Bull Moose, which is a chain here in the Northeast. They have, like, secondhand stuff. We always like to go and, like, see what kind of Twilight merch they have. And they had tons of DVDs that we were tempted to buy.
The most tempting one for me was the special edition of Breaking Dawn Part 1. I do have a special edition of Breaking Dawn Part 1 that comes with a flower that was used in the filming of the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But this one comes with... a huge, like, cloth, like, like, flag, like, cheap flag material.
Right.
Cloth poster of Edward and Bella in their wedding attire. How wonderful to know that that is something that can be purchased.
You can purchase that. It was great. We didn't get it, though.
We didn't get it, but maybe next time.
We did get two $3 copies of Twilight, though.
Yeah.
Can never go wrong.
It's my, like, eighth copy of Twilight.
Well,
it's fine.
So we read, like, the first two chapters, the prelude and the first two chapters, so it's, like, the first 52 or 53.
Prelude is music.
Prelude. The prelude to Twilight.
Do you know that Sam comes from a musical family?
I do.
Everything is prelude, coda.
Yeah, that's why we have this microphone, because my mom is a musician.
Yep.
So thanks, Mom.
So...
But... Yeah, what?
We should dissect the very beginning of Twilight. So if you were to open a Twilight book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I forgot about what's before the prelude.
Yeah. So first you'll see the dedication.
Uh-huh.
Big-ass deal.
Yeah.
Because it's a phenomenon of a book.
Yeah.
It's for Stephenie Meyer's big sister, Emily.
Mm-hmm.
Without whose enthusiasm, the story might still... be unfinished.
That reminded me that she named a lot of her characters after her family members.
Yes. Horrific.
Yeah. Depending on which character you got.
So, shout out to all the Emilys out there, especially Emily Meyer?
That's not her maiden name.
Not her maiden name. I don't know her maiden name.
I forgot. Morgan.
Is it?
I think so, because in the Parks and Rec episode about Twilight, Kelly, who the guy who's obsessed about Twilight, he's like, let me take you back to the beginning. Stephenie Meyer, name Morgan. Morgan.
You're right. Okay, that's great.
Yeah. But yeah, right before the prelude, the, like, what is it called? Like, the quote? Like, the opening quote?
Yeah. You know how books have quotes.
Books have quotes. In the beginning. And this one is from Genesis 2:17.
The Bible.
Yeah. When we were at Life and Death, the quote was from, whatever it is, 10,000, 20,000.
7 million leagues under the sea.
Which is funny. And this one is... very different. That one's about destiny.
Yeah.
And this one is about, like, the sinful fruit or whatever the fuck it's called. I didn't read the Bible. Well, I actually did for school. For honors college.
Oh, that's right. I was like, what's school?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I did read the Bible.
Yeah. Go off.
Yeah. Because I'm Catholic. Did you know? Ouch. Ouch. That hurt. That hurt. Where?
No, we didn't.
My grandma once got in a fight with one of my friends from, like, middle school and high school because they were at, like, I don't know, they were talking about something and my grandma mentioned, like, something about the Bible and this girl was super, super Christian. Mm-hmm. She was, like, a part of a mega church. If you don't know what a mega church is, Google it, go down the rabbit hole, terrifying, like, corporate churches. And my grandmother was, like, got on the subject of the Bible, and this woman was like, oh, I thought Catholics didn't read the Bible. And my grandma, for some reason, got so mad. She, like, yelled at her in front of a bunch of people and then stormed out. And I was like, wow, that was really fun for me.
And that's the energy you just manifested
right here,
right now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so life has come full circle.
Yeah. So, would you like to read this quote?
Sure.
For the gentle listeners.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2:17.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pretty transparent there, I guess. I mean, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about, like, dying. Eating the forbidden fruit. If you're not familiar with, like...
No.
What?
I was thinking that that this was about, like, Bella eating the forbidden fruit, but actually it's kind literally about Edward eating Bella.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's it. But
it's
also,
literal.
I kind of like it the other way around.
Well, yeah, Bella, like, is, like, obtaining the knowledge of good and evil, because,
right.
Like, Edward's kind of, like, had this knowledge, and, like,
yeah.
Bella entering into this supernatural world is, like... getting the knowledge of good and evil,
mm-hmm.
and, like, the day that she tastes of, like, becoming supernatural is the day that she dies.
Mm.
So it's also about Bella. It's both.
Wow. I love that, actually.
Yeah.
I hate that it's the Bible.
Right.
But, like...
But if you're not familiar with, the Bible, this is about the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, which the first two humans, allegedly the first two humans, Adam and Eve, were told not to eat this one, like, fruit. It's commonly depicted as an apple, but, like, that's really, really boring.
Mm. But that is, like, what's on the cover of Twilight.
Yeah, but I feel like there's better fruits. But if you're going to risk it all for a fruit.
Not apple.
And that's what that's talking about.
Yeah. Cool.
And then the people that ate the fruit of good and evil, they didn't die.
No.
That day. So God lied. Go off, God.
Okay, let me move on to the preface, which, you know, is very iconic, I guess. It's just like one half page about foreshadowing the end of the book. Spoiler alert, James and almost getting killed.
It's like talking about this, like, sacrifice or resignation to death.
Yeah, and, like, sacrificing yourself in the place of someone else, if you can, I guess.
Yeah.
There was, like, she says, when life offers you a dream so far beyond any of your expectations, it's not reasonable to grieve when it comes to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's interesting in the context of, like, New Moon. Because she grieves so much.
She grieves a lot. Also, like, it's, I think that's a very Virgo thing to say.
Yeah.
And
we should analyze this whole book for Virgo-ness.
Yeah, Bella's a Virgo. Also, I think it's really interesting. I think we may have talked about this in season one of Gender Forking when we were talking about life and death, but I think sometimes people take this preface out of context, or it's perhaps written intentionally to make you think that it's gonna be about Edward,
mm-hmm.
that she's sacrificing herself for, but she's sacrificing herself for her mother.
Yes.
Because her mother is alleged,
yes.
like, is supposedly the one that's going to be in danger at
right.
the end of this book.
Right.
I don't know if that's, like, intentional on Stephanie's part, because, like, this is a love story for, like, her to make people think that, like, this is about to be a sacrifice where, like, she's about to die in place of her, like, love object, but it's, like, it's about her mom, so. Mm.
Yeah.
That's fun.
That is fun. Dying instead of your mom.
Love to try it.
Try it at home. Write in. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. Cool.
First Sight, chapter one. Mm-hmm. It's a very thorough chapter, is what I said to Lori earlier today when I finished reading it.
Yeah.
It really takes us through. We meet almost every character that we're going to deal with in this book.
Yeah.
There's or they were talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. Jacob isn't mentioned by name yet. I don't.
No, but Billy think, is.
But Billy is.
Yeah.
Carlisle. We haven't met the antagonists yet. Like,
no.
That trio, but other than that, it's really, like, everyone is introduced in this chapter.
Yeah.
It also has a few, like, really iconic lines that I think stand out to me from the movie, even.
Mm-hmm. They really incorporated a lot from the language from this chapter into the first part of the movie.
Like, a small town named Forks exists under a near constant cover of clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie didn't hover.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, lines like that.
There's a lot of imagery in the first chapter, and something that I was thinking about was that the narration is so easy, and, like, I haven't read a book in a while that's been first person, and I'm kind of thinking about, like, are a lot of YA books about girls from this time, like, in first person?
I don't know.
Are the Hunger Games in first person?
I
just feel like we just get fully her perspective, which is really fun, and, like, really, like, immediately personal.
Katniss narrates the Hunger Games.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's interesting.
I feel like I remember a lot of books that I read around this time were from the point of view of the main character who was a girl.
I like that.
And I feel like a lot of books that I'm reading now are like, third-person omniscient or third-person personal. We, like, really get to know Bella through her narration. She's slightly dramatic. I don't really want to call her dramatic, but she kind of has, like, she's, like, resigned herself to hating Forks.
Yeah.
She uses the language, I detested Forks, and she's exiling herself there, and then it, which is an action she takes with great horror.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting to be 17 and to be so resigned, I guess, because, like, there's no, like, future planning. It's not like, I'm going to be in Forks for a while.
Yeah.
But then I'm going to go to college.
Yeah,
in, like, a really sunny place and study and never, like, do that again. Or, like, I'm going to make it out, or I'm going to, like, whatever. It's just, like, it's really,
it's a little bit out of place because, like, she doesn't mope about anything else. Like, she's, all the other stuff we learn about her is that she's very responsible. Like, she's had to kind of care for her mother. Like, we get the impression that Renee, her mother, is sort of the child in the relationship, and Bella's more of the mom. Like, Bella talks about being in charge of paying bills and, like, doing the grocery shopping back home and a lot of things like that, and she just kind of, like, takes that in stride, and, like, that's just part of it. So it to also hear her be like that's very not teenagery, and then like stereotypically, I guess, and then, like, but then to hear her be really stereotypically teenagery about, like, like stubborn about something that she's doing. But I guess the bigger picture in that is that, like, it's so strange that she's decided that she's doing this, that she's leaving.
Yeah.
And to go live and, like, do a thing that she really doesn't want to do, like, because she feels like she's holding her mother back. Like, I find that kind of bizarre and concerning, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And that came up a lot in this chapter, where I was just like, why? I mean, she eventually has a conversation with Edward about it that kind of brings it more to light as, like, to, like, what she's thinking about and, like, why she chose to do it. But, you know, we kind of understand that her mom wants to travel with her new husband, who's a minor league baseball player. She's, like, putting on a brave face and pretending that she's, like, really willing to go and live with her father to allow her mother to, like, be happy, quote-unquote, which I think is really interesting that, like, I don't know, maybe she convinced Renee that, like, she wanted to do this, and Renee was like, okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting. She's, like, self-sacrificing right from the get-go in the preface and here, both for her mother, in a way that is, like, probably, like, irresponsible or unhealthy or, like, unnecessary.
Yeah, we see that come up a couple of other times throughout the saga where she, like, really is self-sacrificing, like,
For Edward.
Renesmee, for Edward, for
Charlie, and
she mentions, like, if something ever happened to Alice, that she would be extremely upset.
Yeah.
She's very... Yeah. That's, like, a core tenet of her personality, which, spoiler alert, she has one.
Yeah.
She does have a personality.
Yeah, get with it.
Yeah.
It's right here.
Here it is.
It's, like, I don't know how people think she doesn't have a personality, because this is literally a whole saga narrated from her perspective. So yeah. She has to have a personality.
So everything you think about the series is because Bella told you it.
Yeah. So... deal. We meet Charlie in this chapter. Mm-hmm. Neither of them are verbose, as she says. I think Charlie's characterization is really clear here. But like one thing that I thought was funny was that she's talking about how she needs to get a car.
Yeah.
And she says, "I refuse to be driven around town in a car with red and blue lights on top." And so I wrote in the margins, "Bella said fuck blue lives."
Bella said fuck blue lives. Yeah. I wrote out cop. Or police chief, yeah. And I wrote in park ranger.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, how we kind of think of Charlie, because Charlie's a good person, and there's no such thing as a good cop.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, let's alienate the view of listeners.
Yeah. We're going to teach you about police and prison abolition on this podcast.
Yeah.
Slowly, just accept it.
Something else interesting. I don't know anything about cars, so I'm probably just, like, going to put my foot in my mouth, but a truck from the late 50s mm-hmm. seems... pretty old.
Yeah, this is like 2006, so this car is like 50 years old, actually.
Yeah, it's a 50-year-old car, and like, I know the cars back then were a lot more durable than they are now,
mm-hmm.
but were they that durable?
Maybe. I don't know. It seems like Stephenie Meyer knows like a weird amount about cars. Like, I think she's into cars.
Okay.
So maybe she would know.
Maybe. So it's a Chevy. That's...
Yeah,
she I just, like, I don't feel like I see 50-year-old trucks driving around, you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Even, like, in, like...
rural areas.
Yeah, like, no. I'm not, like...
I definitely see trucks, but not, like, 50-year-old cars of any kind, usually.
Unless they're, like, vintage or antique.
Yeah. But Charlie buys this truck for her, which is great, because she's kind of worried about being able to pay for a car, being mm-hmm. able to save up, which is another thing that came up a lot in this chapter that I thought was interesting, is that how much money actually comes up.
Yeah, money does come up a fair bit. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about, she made some comment about when she got to school.
Like, noticing the other cars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is this chapter.
Yeah, she's self-conscious about her car.
Noticing the other cars and making some comment about how she was one of the lower-income neighborhoods in Phoenix come to her, like, high school district. And, like, I'm just thinking about, like, what class they are.
Yeah, her and her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're lower... Like
lower middle.
Lower income or lower middle. I mean, maybe I would suspect that maybe Charlie might make a little bit more as a police chief. But I don't know.
Because it's just, I feel like it just seems, again, like, as I was saying in the last episode, like, maybe that would come up more.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, that's, like, me speaking as, like, a 23-year-old. Bella is 17, and, like, you don't think about money as much. When you're 17, though, Bella is, like, a very mature 17.
Yeah, she's kind of had to, I think. I mean, she says on page 6 that she doesn't have a lot of stuff with her because her clothes from Arizona weren't going to, like, be functional in mm-hmm. Washington. And she said, "My mom and I had pooled our resources to supplement my winter wardrobe, but it was still scanty."
Yeah.
Which means that she and her mom both, like... worked to get enough money to, like, buy new stuff for her.
Yeah.
And then she still didn't have a lot of stuff, which suggests that Bella was working back home.
Right. Yeah.
Also.
Right.
And then she also mentioned stuff about, like, worrying about her mom and, like, but knowing that because she has Phil now, there will be food on the table and, mm-hmm. the, and the bills will get paid. So someone else is going to take care of her, not only, like, in terms of around the house, but also financially.
Yeah. I think something else that is maybe, like, a personality trait of Bella's is that she's pretty observant. I think it's really evident when she starts getting into the house and, like, talking about how it was really clear that Charlie wasn't over Renee from, like, not only the wedding photo still being up, which I thought was really interesting.
She makes it seem like he's not over her, but it doesn't, like, ever come up again.
Yeah.
And I don't remember it to come up again.
Right. I don't either, but maybe we'll see. Renee had done it quite a while ago, 17 years ago, in the house. We're still around, like, the yellow cabinets in the kitchen, and the room is decorated the same. But, yeah, I don't know. I think she's pretty observant to, like, remember.
She's very observant.
Yeah.
Which comes in a lot when we meet the Cullens later, like, she's so observant about them, which is hilarious, because apparently, like, no one else is, like, clued into the things that they're doing that are weird.
Yeah, or, like, they've just written it off and she's really curious about it.
Yeah.
I just want to put on the record that on page 9, she makes a comment that, like, all the kids in Forks had grown up together.
Yeah.
And that their grandparents had been toddlers together. And I made a note.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Mike Newton move to Forks at age 10 from California?
He did.
On page 9. And then a few pages later, it was revealed that I have the best memory in the world. Because he and Daeed moved to Forks from California at age 10.
That's impressive.
Thank you very much.
I have a lot of, like, tiny little notes. I just, some of the like, dialogue is, like, just so funny. Like, as I was reading it this morning, I kept saying to Lori, this is a comedy. I think the stuff about Charlie is interesting. When she narrates, she calls Charlie Charlie, and then, and then she, when she speaks to him, she calls him Dad, and she literally says on page 6, I wasn't allowed to call him Charlie to his face. There's a lot to unpack there.
I think that maybe reflects how Renee might talk about Charlie, like, maybe. So maybe it's, like, Renee doesn't call Charlie Bella's dad.
Yeah.
Or, like, Charlie, like, Bella's dad, like, Charlie's not referred to as, like, Bella's dad by people in Bella's life. So she's kind of picked up on that habit as
And
well.
And they also barely see each other. I mean, that she had to go, it said she was, like, required to go to Forks for a month every summer until she was 14, until she, like, started refusing, and then she and Charlie would vacation together in the summer for 2 weeks in California up until then, which is, like, not very much time at all, so they don't have, like, a whole lot of a relationship, and it's pretty clear, like, that they're going to start building a relationship from the first little chunk of this book. And, I mean, they definitely do over the course of the series.
Also, like, the money that it would take to vacation every year for 2 weeks in the summer.
Yeah. In California.
which they don't say where, which I think is really interesting. But I would have to imagine it wasn't Northern California, because that climate is super similar to the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I'm sure it was as close to Bella as possible.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
I kept underlining, like, little bits that I thought were telling about Bella. This is weirdly dramatic for something that she's just saying about not remembering Billy Black, because they used to go fishing together, and she said that would explain why I didn't remember him. I do a good job of blocking painful, unnecessary things from my memory.
Yeah, it's like, I've like, fishing's not that.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. She's just, like, not outdoorsy.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this point, I guess. Or I don't know if she ever is, but. And then she also says, Charlie wasn't comfortable with expressing his emotions out loud. I inherited that from him.
Mm-hmm.
We have, like, two quiet townies in this Forks house.
Yeah. She also is reflecting on not only her relationship with Charlie and how she's uncomfortable a little bit, like, with that, but also, like, anticipating having to build relationships at school.
Yeah.
And she says, like, if I couldn't find a niche in a school with 3,000 people, what were my chances here? And I thought that was really interesting, because, like, I think it's easier to fit in in a smaller, like, environment, or, like, a smaller town.
Yeah.
And, like, it can be really alienating to go from a small place to a big place.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I thought it was interesting that she had the perception that it was harder to fit in, like, a smaller.
Yeah. I mean, that there's this whole section, like, a whole page where she's talking about not fitting in and being different, which is, like, a really telling spot, because she's describing herself physically and emotionally. Mm-hmm. She feels like she doesn't fit in physically because she's really pale and she doesn't look like a girl that came from a really sunny place. She's not athletic like some of those people are. Then she talks about not being able to relate well to people her age. And then there's also, like, I feel like this part is just, like, it's probably not intentional, but it almost feels like foreshadowing to me. She describes, after she gets to Charlie's house, going to the bathroom and looking at herself in the mirror.
Yeah.
And she said, maybe it was a light, but I already looked sallower, unhealthy. My skin could be pretty. It was very clear, almost translucent looking. But it all depended on color. I had no color here. And I almost just felt like, I don't know. Wouldn't it be interesting, like, if she, like, started having, like, weird visions when she got to Forks about her future, like, and she looks in the mirror and she sees, like, this, like, vampire version of herself staring back.
Which I also think is funny because, like, yeah, you can be really pale in the wintertime because you don't get a lot of sun, but also, like, you get a lot of color from it being cold outside because your cheeks flush.
Also, she's, like, blushing all the time.
Yeah, and she's blushing all the time because she's always embarrassed, so it's like, Bella, chill.
I think it's really interesting that she describes herself as not fitting in to people in general, even her mother, who she's really close to. She says they're never exactly on the same page, and then she says, sometimes I wondered if I was seeing the same things through my eyes that the rest of the world was seeing through theirs. Maybe there was a glitch in my brain. And I just feel like that relates to so many things about what's going to happen to her.
Yeah, also, like, the glitch in her brain, like...
She brings that up again later in the book when she realizes that Edward can't read her thoughts, and she thinks there's something wrong with her. But, like, and also, like, the eventual vampire powers that she'll have.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, does have a special brain.
Yeah, and she starts to have, like, deeper connections with the Cullens.
Yeah.
Those are the people that she has found herself relating to most.
Yeah.
And that's how she, like, kind of conceptualizes this idea of, like, I was always meant to be a vampire.
Right.
That is really interesting.
And she also, like, says, like, that she doesn't see things the way that other people do, which kind of plays into what we were thinking about her being really observant.
Yeah.
Later on when we do see the Cullens, it's like she, like, is noticing them, like, not eating and being almost unnaturally graceful, and no one else seems to mind, but she's like, it's like the things that they're they're very easily supposed to do to try to blend in and be humans, like, they're very transparently not doing.
Yeah, which is really funny because when she becomes a vampire.
Yeah.
Spoiler. When she becomes a vampire, they, like, try to teach her how to blend in when Charlie comes to visit for the first time. And they're, like, giving her advice as if, like, they do well. Then she goes to school.
I like her thoughts about the different parts of the school, brick buildings and shrubs.
Yeah.
And she says, where was the feel of the institution? I wondered nostalgically. Yeah. Where were the chain link fences, the metal detectors? It's like, what a statement. her school was like that in Phoenix, and, very different from a small town, but also, like, what a comment on, like, institution. Like, you want your school to feel like an institution.
Right. Yeah, I got this image of...
A prison.
Yeah, a prison, which is very much what my high school looks like. Mm-hmm. And then when she was talking about these, like, cute little brick houses...
That's what my high school
looks like. Is what, like, your high school looks like, and I was like, wow, that's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She, like, has all of her classes. We start meeting some of her friends. She kind of gets the sense that from the classes that she has, she's already, like, learned a lot of the material.
Yeah.
She's, like, read a lot of the stuff that they're reading. She's done later on, like, she's done the biology lab already. But she's, like, kind of into reading is kind of what we get from this section as well, which is really fun.
She doesn't really, like, necessarily, like, pay attention really in class because she already has the perception that she knows.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? So she's just kind of, like, taking notes, doodling.
And meeting people.
And meeting folks.
She's also, like, really anxious.
Yeah.
Throughout this whole section, she's really... She doesn't like speaking in front of people.
She gets mad at Mr. Varner, the trig teacher, for having her introduced in front of the class.
Yeah. And we meet Eric, and she describes him as a gangly boy with skin problems and black hair as an oil slick. And who looks like the overly helpful chess club type. I wrote, drag him.
Yeah, she's, like, really observant to, like, pick up on those things.
Yeah.
And, like, put words to them.
Yeah.
And then, like, also, like, it's kind of mean.
Yeah, but, like, she's right.
She's obviously, like, not saying that out loud or, like, ever going to, like...
No.
Think any less of him because of that.
But she's, like, wary because of people being really extroverted towards her.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I know what this person is like already, and they've just only started speaking to me.
Yes. And she also makes this really funny comment about, like, she's making a joke that she doesn't look very tan because her mother is part albino, and, like, Eric doesn't get it. And she just, like, sighs and is like, oh, like, a few months of this and I'll forget how to use sarcasm. And I was like, that's so edgy.
Yeah, that's,
like,
really
too edgy for Forks.
Yeah. Comedy queen.
Yeah.
So if it sounds different in the podcast now, it's because we had to change location. And it's also a few hours later because we are
busy girls, and we had dinner plans.
Yes. And to do a quick plug for the Patreon, if you sign up for the tier, it gets you bonus content. You get to hear what I did for the last 20 minutes. And we'll leave it at that.
It's gross.
I hope someone enjoys it. Just, like, one person.
Yeah, so we don't really know what we were talking about, but, we'll just find a new topic.
Maybe we should just start with, like, the Collins
entering. Yeah, let's just
entering,
skip to
because I know we talked about, like, Bella being edgy and, like...
Yeah, and we... Oh, yeah, I think we were right there, because we were talking about how she was dragging Eric, actually.
Yeah.
And then the next page is when they come in.
Mm-hmm. So, it's really gay.
It actually really is.
Like, it really is. I know we made a comment on this in the Life and Death episode, when we were, like, talking about this chapter in Life and Death, mm-hmm. but Bella has a hard time here deciding who's the most beautiful, either the perfect blonde girl, Rosalie, or the bronze-haired boy, Edward. And it's, like, bisexuality.
It's, like, pretty transparently a bisexual comment.
Yeah. Something else I wanted to say about the Cullens, this might come down to Bella being really observant, which we were talking about, but they also had, like, dark shadows under their eyes, purplish bruise-like shadows, as if they were all sleeping or suffering from a sleepless night or almost done recovering from a broken nose. And, like, wear makeup if you don't want to, like, draw attention to yourself.
Yeah, I feel like they're doing a shit job.
They're doing a really bad job. I could do better.
She notices so many things about them that are, like, obviously weird. First, not just being beautiful, but, like, throwing away, like, untouched, unopened food.
Mm-hmm. An unbitten apple, which is, like, the cover of the book.
Wow.
And Alice has that, so this is really a love story.
It's about Alice. Yeah.
Bella and Alice.
Yeah. They walk, like, a little fast, mm-hmm. which is, like, hilarious that she notices that.
And she makes a comment to Jessica that they don't look related, but, like, they all have that similarity of, like, the dark circles, the very pale skin, like, the perfect, like, put-together presence. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, everyone else must notice that to a degree, but they just, like, I guess, shrug it off.
Yeah.
I would be like, so suspicious.
I think, I don't know, is it, like, small-towny to be, like, no, they're just different.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I did really like a line kind of about that, that said, when Jessica says, like, is telling Bella, like, oh, they live together.
Oh, yeah.
It says, her voice held all the shock and condemnation of the small town.
Right.
Which I just, like, really love that line.
Yeah. Every time I, like, think about Twilight critically, I remember that Carlisle is 23. He's our age. This is like if we had
17-year-old children.
Yeah. A bunch of them. I feel like that's even worse. Like, in this universe, it's, like, illegal to have immortal children, but I feel like teenagers should also be illegal.
Teenagers are worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's, like, this really funny, not funny, it's just, like, really judgy, and I think it's funny that it's in there. Like, when Jessica is commenting on Esme may perhaps not being able to have children.
Yeah.
And she's, like, saying it in, like, a derogatory way.
Like, oh, like, they're not adopting children out of the goodness of their hearts. They're adopting children because they can't have any. And it's like, yeah, they wouldn't adopt, like, a 17-year-old if they wanted to have the, like, childbearing experience.
Also, like, she, like, just mentions that, like, their cover story is that Jasper and Rosalie are, like, the niece and nephew of Esme.
Right.
And I've been with her for, like, 10 years. So it's funny that, I don't know.
Since Esme was, what, 15?
Yeah. Wow! You're right. 16,
how old is
Esme?
Yeah,
she's
16.
26.
Yeah.
That's...
And they were,
funny.
Like, what?
Maybe she's just passing as older.
Maybe.
But still.
Yeah. We love Angela.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get a lot of commentary on her, actually.
No. Not yet. They refer to Edward's hair as unusual. I wish they had tried a little bit harder with that in the movie. Like, I wish they would have put some, like, Ariel, like, from the Little Mermaid.
I wish he had an Ariel wig.
Me too.
Yeah. I wish that he was an Ariel drag.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's really observant about him right away in a way that I'm almost, like... It's hilarious how much foreshadowing it is. Like...
Yeah.
It says, they, like, make eye contact, Edward and Bella, and she's like, in that brief flash of a glance, his face held nothing of interest. It was as if she had called his name, and he decided And, like, yeah, he, like, looked up. And then there's another one. They make eye contact or something, and she says, it seemed to me that his glance held some kind of unmet expectation. Like, how do you know?
It's so weird. It's, like, obviously Stephanie already knew that Edward could read minds, but, like, it's a little bit obvious,
I guess. It's, like, really on the nose.
Yeah. Then they go to biology class.
Yeah, this whole thing happens, doesn't it?
Strawberry shampoo. Strawberry shampoo. I'm just saying, like, you don't see that many strawberry-scented shampoos out there. So I'm gonna have to guess that Bella's using Strawberry Suave.
Yeah, that's what I used when I was about the age that I was when I was reading this. Yeah. Or maybe, like, VO5.
Yeah, VO5 or Suave.
Yeah, we'll do, like, a get the look, get the smell.
Get the smell on Bella.
They go to biology, and their lab partners, of course, Bella and Edward, and he's, like, super, you know, he's just weird.
Yeah, he looks like he's in pain. He's clenching, like, the table. His fists are clenched.
He doesn't talk to her.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the bell rings, he gets up. And there's, like, a funny comment. She's like, it couldn't have anything to do with me. He didn't know me from Eve.
Yes, I wrote that down, too.
We've had, like, so many, like, little forbidden fruit references already in the first chapter.
Like, the Bible references are just, like,
popping.
They're popping.
They're popping off. In the first chapter, Bella cries, like, many
times.
Multiple times. And I remember reading Life and Death, and, like, Beau never cried.
Yeah.
Ever.
Also, Virgos, write in. Let us know. BowlingShirtBellas@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Do you cry a lot?
How are your feelings?
How are your feelings, Alexis?
We gotta get a Virgo on the show.
Bella makes this comment, and, like, I don't know if this is just, like, my knowledge of the rest of the saga, like, tainting this memory, but, like, I always had the impression that Bella, like, immediately was, like, a little bit weirded out and, like, taken aback by Mike. But she says, he was the nicest person I'd met today.
Yeah.
And, like, she met...
Everyone.
You know what I mean? Like, she met everyone, and she thinks that Mike is the...
I feel like that changes, though.
Nicest. And then I feel like he gets annoying, and, like, isn't that the experience with, like, every man?
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I feel like she's done with him by gym class.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
She also refers to Forks as her literal personal hell on Earth, which is funny because I feel like Edward also does the same thing a lot. I don't know if it's in Midnight Sun or whatever, but, like, he feels like Bella being there is his personal hell, and then, like, she's also in her personal hell, and it's like...
Yeah.
I don't know, the Bible? Oh, there's something there.
There's something there. Somebody tell us what's there. There's, like, just some, like, really relatable content of Bella not wanting to go to gym class.
Yeah, that's really relatable. I'd be really pissed off.
Yeah. Did you have to... How many years of gym did you have to do in high school?
Not many. One and a half, but only part of, like, one of those was actually in a gym, and none of it was, like playing volleyball or anything. Mm-hmm. We had to, like... Like, there was a part where I remember having to go into the weight room one time, and I did bench presses with the bar.
We did, we dressed out 2 times a week, and we...
Oh, I never had to do that.
Yeah, we dressed out 2 times a week and went outside and ran the track every single day. We never did anything different.
That's, like, kind of the end of chapter one. Do you have anything else that you wanted to add?
Bella refers to her truck, which she really likes, as the closest thing to home she had in this damp green hole. And I just feel like
She has a house.
And, like...
And it's also really sad.
It's so sad. It's like, your house should be the... Bella.
Yeah.
Bella.
She'll get there.
Yeah.
She'll get
fine.
There. Yeah.
So we're gonna go to our mini segment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, our new mini segment, which Lori invented yesterday, called...
I want you to say it. I do.
It's called Love at First Bite. I think I should edit in, like, a little crunching sound, like crunching an apple.
Yeah, like an apple.
Yeah. But, like, I'll record it. I'm not going to find, like...
like a Foley.
Yeah. Or actually, maybe we should do it live every time.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Is that good podcasting?
Yeah.
Mouth sounds?
Do you want to know who it is? You're going to very easily be able to tell who
no,
it
don't
is.
Tell me.
Okay. So, this is the Tinder bio of someone from the Twilight universe. That's what the game is. I didn't explain it, but...
It's fine.
You heard it,
you heard
last,
it last time.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll describe the pictures first.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, it's, like, it's a selfie.
Okay.
Like, very posed. And then the second one is a prom photo
with
friends. Is
it Jessica? It's Jessica.
Yeah. And then the third one is a picture of her in a wetsuit on First Beach.
Oh, okay. I love that. Okay.
Like, like 18 female. I put 3 miles away. But like maybe 3,000. Okay, it is. What you know that like red alarm? There's a lot of emojis in this.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the alarm.
Like emoji. When I send you like really like, big news, what I use?
Like red alert. Yeah. Like one of those short queens alert. Another one.
Oh my god, this is so good. Yeah.
I love hanging out with friends, soaking up the sun, and making memories. Rose emoji. Painting nails emoji, dancing woman emoji, graduation cap emoji, crown emoji, sparkle emoji.
Okay.
Proud Forks High alumni and valedictorian.
Okay.
And then it says, no fuck boys, and it's the emoji with the cross.
Yeah.
here to make a connection, heart eyes.
Okay, yeah.
Looking for the Romeo to my Juliet, and it's like the man and the woman with the heart in between.
Okay.
That's it.
Is there a profile song?
Oh, fuck. I always forget that people do that, because I think it's insane when people do that.
I think
but
it's
she
fun.
Totally would have one.
I think it's fun.
It would be, like...
The graduation song by Vitamin C. As we go...
It would be A Thousand Years by Christina Perry.
Yeah. Okay, so Jessica Stanley.
Oh, yeah, so you're going to swipe right or left.
Which is which?
Left is you bad. Don't like her.
I would...
Or you could super like, also.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Hmm.
Based off the information in the profile, I would probably swipe right, but I wouldn't...
You'd be like, why not?
With my knowledge of Jessica.
Yeah. Like, if you lived... If you, like, you know her. Like, you've seen her around.
Oh.
Like, this isn't, like, strictly...
Yeah, I'd probably swipe right. Also, like, I'm picturing Anna Kendrick.
Yeah.
So...
I was like, you asked me what the profile song was going to be, and I was like, Wonderwall, but then I was like, that's so Mike.
Yeah, you're right.
What did you say that his was yesterday?
Crash Into Me by Dave Matthews
Band.
Oh my
god, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was inspired by another Mike.
Should we move into whatever else we got?
Chapter 2?
I feel like I...
Bring in our guest star.
You want to do it at the end?
Yeah.
We just had our segment, so...
Yeah. Stay tuned for a special guest.
Chapter 2, open book.
All right.
Is what it's called. This one is like, Bella's at school. She's like making her friends.
Yeah.
Edward has disappeared, question mark?
Yeah, and there you can already tell there's this like magnetic thing between them that like Bella's either like attracted to or very curious about him because she says that the day is worse because he wasn't in school at all.
Yeah, which is, like, so funny.
Yeah. And it's, like, you've never spoken to each other, but
go off, I guess, yeah. Yeah, she's, like, kind of obsessing over it. Like,
yeah.
She said that she's, like, imagining confronting him, like, and it's, like, keeping her up at night. She also says, I made the cowardly lion look like the Terminator. So she...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Once again, in this chapter, she, like, describes a girl in a really interesting way. She says, she's talking to Mike before biology class, and then he goes over to his lab partner, and who she describes as a girl with braces and a bad perm. And it's
yes.
Like, who has a perm in 2006 or 2003? But I just thought it was funny. Like,
yeah.
I can't, like, imagine Bella being like, I know what fashion is. Like, that's
how
a
does
bad
she know
perm.
What a perm is?
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, she's already, like, annoyed with Mike. She says, it looked like I was going to have to do something about Mike, and it wouldn't be easy.
Right.
I wrote LOL, man.
Yeah.
She also said, in a town like this, where everyone lived on top of everyone else, diplomacy was essential. I had never been enormously tactful. I had no practice with dealing with overly friendly boys.
She's already sick of it.
She's also referring to him as a golden retriever.
Yeah, which is why I put a golden retriever in.
Oh, right, yeah.
My little Tinder bio for him. I noticed that she observes the two Collins, Alice and Emmett, and then the Hale twins getting into their car, and it was a shiny new Volvo, and it's like, are they driving Edward's car?
They definitely are. I think they do it because...
in Alaska.
I think they do it because his is the least ostentatious.
Yeah, which is so funny.
Yeah.
It's like...
They're like, this is ours now.
This is ours. Edward's dead to us. Yeah. We live in Alaska.
We didn't like him anyway. This is, like, great. They're like planning
Rosalie's
on moving.
Thrilled.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're right. They're probably, like, secretly planning on, like, leaving before he can return.
Yeah.
Like, just up and leaving, and, like, he'll never be able to find them.
Yeah.
there's a bit more in this chapter about Bella's role in the house.
Yeah.
She says that she, that Charlie can't cook, mm-hmm. and that she, like, decided that she wants to do all the cooking while she's living there. It's like, what has he been doing for all these years?
I guess eating at the diner, but you'd think that that but wouldn't be...
He doesn't mention that in the book, though.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I don't know what men do.
I don't either.
She says she got, she went shopping. Mm-hmm. She goes grocery shopping. There's, like, so much about chores, and honestly, like, I'm kind of about it.
Yeah, it's really realistic. It's very Virgo. Virgo. You're right, you're yeah. right.
She says she got the money for the food in the jar in the cupboard labeled food money, mm-hmm. which is, and then she goes to the thriftway. Again, like, I'm getting real, just more working class.
Yeah.
Vibes.
Totally.
I don't know if it's just, like, maybe a thing people did in 2006 is, like, have all their food money in a jar labeled food money, but, like...
Maybe.
I don't know.
I noted, Renee writes a few emails to Bella and, like, mm-hmm. panics because Bella hasn't, like, emailed her back. Mm-hmm. And, like, I wanted to know what Renee's sign was.
Mm. Because what do you think?
I don't know.
She's, like, an air sign. She's yeah. an air sign. I think she might be a Libra.
Yeah.
Because they describe her as, like, flighty, which is, like, stereotypical air sign.
Yeah.
And then she's also, like, being swept off into this romance with Phil, which is very Libra.
Right.
But she's also, like, pretty observant and, like, can be mm-hmm. diplomatic, also mm-hmm. like Libras.
Yeah. I buy that.
I wrote down, like all these things about the chores and the emails happening. It's just such a, like, the description of the mundane, like, really mm-hmm. contrasts to the eventual supernatural that's gonna happen, and like,
yeah, that's true.
And like, sometimes when she's describing forks, it becomes like really ominous, especially in the first chapter. Like, there are times where she describes herself as feeling like trapped,
yeah,
or like, I don't know,
it's almost yeah. like this like idyllic, like that fucking movie. Oh god, what's that movie where they like prank him?
What?
Oh god, it's gonna make me seem really stupid when I figure it out. Truman Show?
They prank him.
They do. They prank him real bad.
That's a real big prank, yeah.
It's like almost like Truman Show where like it's going too well. Yeah. Like that's, it's not even going well. Like she's not happy. But like it's just like so small town.
Yeah.
Like, so like typical, boring, normal.
Yeah.
Every day's the same small town.
Yeah.
That like blows up.
Yeah. Which is, like, that's the setting for every Stephen King, mm-hmm. you know, novel. Like,
yeah.
all these, like, so many supernatural or horror or whatever things, like, take place in small towns, so it's kind of the perfect setting for that.
Quick content warning suicide. The yes. line where she talks about, like,
right,
Charlie's gun and, like, saying, like, I guess Charlie considered me old enough now to not shoot myself by accident and not mm-hmm. depressed enough to shoot myself on purpose.
Yep.
Wow. That line, like, I yeah. don't...
It was in Life and Death, too.
Yeah, it was in Life and Death, and mm-hmm. it was the first time I remember reading it, because
right.
I don't think that, like, when I was young reading this book, it, like, stood out to me at all.
Right.
But now, it absolutely does.
Yeah, it's a very, like, blunt thing to say.
Yeah. It's, like, one of those, like, really dramatic things that Bella says.
Yeah.
That, like,
yeah,
I know
yeah,
she,
yeah.
like, really feels, you know?
Yeah. Everything about her is so, like, matter-of-fact.
Yeah.
Like, she's just, like, living her life and, like, really, like, saying these things.
Yep.
Yeah. Right next to that paragraph, I just wrote cop stuff. Because we're talking
stuff.
About his gun. also, so Lori and I try not to talk to each other about Twilight until we, like, sit in front of this
oh
microphone. But,
yeah.
like, I couldn't help this morning when I was reading this, when she's describing putting a steak into the broil setting in the oven. Like, that's not how you cook a steak.
Yeah, it's like, you should probably, like, you should sear it in a cast iron
yeah.
and then finish it in the oven.
So I'm just
but
really,
you wouldn't put it on broil when you were finishing it,
because really
that
concerned.
Would cook it too fast.
Yeah. I don't understand.
You don't want an overdone steak.
I guess we could Google it, but I feel like...
We could, but I don't want to be wrong.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, there's another gay moment right after this. It's the part where Charlie... is, like, in love with Carlisle.
Yeah. And, like, really defensive of the Cullens, which I think backs up this, like, concept of, like, they must be doing a lot for the town, more than just being the doctor. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
he's a good doctor, and that's great, but, like, they must be doing more to, like, have earned this, like, reputation.
Yeah, well, he says that he is, like, he's, like, commending the kids for, like, always being well-behaved.
Yeah.
And never causing trouble, and, like...
et cetera, being model citizens or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Edward's still, like, not in school, and she's, like, sad TM about it.
Yeah.
There's, like, a couple bits where she talks about books, and I'm like, that's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently the bookstore, the library in Forks isn't very good.
Yeah.
That's sad. Suddenly on page 39, she says, all in all, I was feeling a lot more comfortable than I thought I would feel by this point. More comfortable than I had ever expected to feel here. So she's, like, already...
Yeah, she's, like, already doing much
our
better.
Girl.
Yeah, she's okay. But she gets, like, a little upset about snow.
Yeah, the snow thing is funny.
Yeah.
it's a comedy.
Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to say, in Breaking Dawn, the first snow that sticks on the ground is how they signal when the Volturi are coming, and, like, this is Edward coming back to school.
Mm.
And, like...
Isn't it the same for Eclipse, too?
Yeah.
All these times when the snow just sticks to the ground.
It's, like, that's really something.
Yeah.
Snow is, like, what, new beginnings?
Yeah. Isn't there, like, in the Breaking Dawn movie, probably not in the book, when, like, Renesmee is, like, catching those snowflakes?
Yeah.
That's when she's spotted by Irina.
Mm-hmm. Snow is, like, a big thing.
This is big. This is huge. Stephanie,
you heard
really,
it here first.
Stephanie really planned this out. Basically, Edward comes back,
mm-hmm.
and she's, like, really nervous.
Yeah, she gets real nervous.
I literally wrote on, like, one of these pages that she just has so much anxiety.
Yeah.
And she's really, like, nervous for most of the first 50 pages of this book.
Yeah, and she's also really observant because she's already picked up on the fact that Jessica really likes Mike.
Oh, yeah. She goes to biology class, and Edward starts talking to her when he says hello to her, and I wrote, wow.
I drew a little onion.
Oh, yeah. But that's not in the book, is it? They don't do the golden onion.
No, they don't do the golden onion,
but
they
do
onion root tip cells.
Yeah, they're doing a lab, and Edward and Bella are talking, and it's, like, fine.
Yeah, their hands touch, and, like, she notices that it's cold. But she also, like, says that an electric current had passed through them, and I was like, wow.
There's a part that I really relate to, which is that she's showing off in this lab, because she's already done it before, and she's, like, being really competitive by trying to identify the, like, phases of whatever it is.
Yeah.
What's it, mitosis?
Mitosis. And also,
as fast as she can.
She, like, gets really upset, not only with Mr. Banner, who, like, accuses them of, like, only Edward doing the work, and also then later upset with Mike for assuming that, like, Edward did all the work.
Yeah. I remember that was different in Life and Death because she, like, she kept,
ladies
because
first.
In this one it's ladies first,
yeah.
And then they kept ladies first, and then that kind of changed, like, the dynamic of the whole thing. It's, like, pretty transparent that, like, Edward and Bella are the smartest people in the class, which I think is, like, so hilarious and great.
I love that.
I love that for them.
I also really am curious, and, like, I'm not gonna look it up because I think it's better saved for when we eventually get to Midnight Sun.
Yeah.
That Mr. Banner, like, mumbles something under his breath after saying, well, I guess it's good you two are lab partners. He mumbled something else as he walked away.
I remember
and
this.
I don't remember what it is.
I think he says, like, something about, like, just, be, like, they're smart and they can, like, kind of do that together and, like, leave the work for the rest of the kids to, like, figure it out on their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they kind of have a conversation that reveals more about Bella's thinking in uprooting and leaving for Forks and why she did it and, like, wanting her mother to be happy. He asks her when they got married, Renee and Phil, and she says last September, and it says, my voice sounded sad even to me. I'm like, that's fucking depressing. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. This conversation is really interesting, and then there's, like, one really dramatic part.
I don't know if we're talking about the same thing,
okay.
But when they say, like, life isn't fair.
Yeah.
And he, like, agrees, like, I believe I have heard that somewhere before. And I wrote, like, these drama queens are meant to be.
Yeah.
Like, people say they don't see Bella and Edward together. I'm like, they're both
they're having
so
this conversation,
dramatic.
Like, in a biology lab.
Yeah.
Like, just let them
and it's
be
the
together.
First conversation they've ever had, and they're talking about Bella's mommy issues.
Yeah. Okay, but right after they talk about how life isn't fair, he says, can you imagine, like, you have your first ever conversation with someone, and they say this to you.
Okay.
You put on a good show. He said slowly, but I'd be willing to bet that you're suffering more than you let anyone see.
I would never talk to anyone
like,
someone again
the
if they ever said that to me.
And then she said she resists the impulse to stick out her tongue at him like a 5-year-old, and I really wish that she did.
I wish she had. There's this cute moment at the end where she's gotten into her car, and she kind of talks about it again like she's happy when she gets into the cab of her car, and I'm like, what is this?
She's a truck girl.
Edward Cullen was leaning against the front door of the Volvo, 3 cars down from me, blah, blah, blah. She almost hits a Toyota Corolla. It's very specific.
That's really specific.
But she stomps on the brake, and then she drives by Edward in his Volvo, but from his peripheral peek, I would swear that I saw him laughing.
Which is
And I love that, because I love when Robert Pattinson laughs.
I'm really, like, into the reintroduction into my personal life of Edward not being, like, totally brooding all the time, because he's really not in the books, but he is in the movies.
Yeah.
But, like, in the books, he's actually pretty lighthearted.
Yeah. I love when he laughs.
Yeah. Because, if they were miserable all the time, that would be pretty wild.
Yeah. Right. Like, they're 17.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess I get it for him.
Yeah.
I guess, like...
But then, like, Joy comes into his life, and, like, they say that... I mean, like, all of his, like, siblings and his mom and, like, Carlisle, like, Esme and Carlisle, they, like, say that he's the happiest that they've ever seen him.
Yeah.
And, like...
He's already laughing just because, like, she almost gets into a car accident.
Yeah.
Which is, like, karma, because then, like, she actually almost does. She really does get into a car accident.
It's, like, he's laughing about it now, but if that happened, like... a couple months down the line, he would just, like, freak out.
That's actually really true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, once he's kind of, like, attached to her,
yeah,
he's, like, so concerned about her safety that he would just absolutely, like, lose his mind if that happened again.
Yeah. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. Shall we...
Yeah.
Bring in...
We didn't come up with we didn't prepare for this at all.
Our very first guest on the show...
To close out...
Our second episode of Twilight.
Just for fun.
Season 2.
Because we have one.
Do you want to do Alex's bio that you're going to improv right now?
I'm going to improv bio. There you go.
I'm listening.
Yep, our first ever guest on the podcast. Esteemed former radio host in his college youth. Level 1 Cicerone.
Yay.
Beer aficionado / amateur disc golf player. Alex.
all of my compacted, obsessive hobbies.
Yeah,
I think there could be more.
Yeah, it's a lot more.
Probably. Would you like to tell us what's in your beer right now?
Water. Grains.
Hops.
And yeast.
Yeast.
That's all that's in it.
That's all?
That's it.
Nothing special?
No.
I usually have way more to say than that. That's going to be like a
and
little
then
bit
we
more.
Supplement it with coffee beans. And then
it is beer flavored beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's it from?
Right here in Portland.
You can be more specific.
No, it's from Austin Street here in Portland.
Oh, cool.
So our first question for you.
I'm ready.
Is can you briefly explain your background and history with Twilight when you first either like read or watched a Twilight movie and like what that experience was like for you, how old you were, etc.
Yeah, I have very interesting Twilight related memories, mostly in the film. I can't say I've ever like personally read more than like 100 pages of written Stephanie Meyer.
I'm impressed that you've actually read
those
pages.
Well,
I've been there, at least I've definitely held every single one of them in my hands before.
Well, yeah.
That does count. I've held the books.
Most of my memories with it are of New Moon and Eclipse. So, like, I don't really know if I ever saw the first film first, but it's, like, such a cultural phenomenon when I was 13 that not even having seen it, you still, like, knew, like, the premise and the characters and what people were obsessing over. But New Moon I saw with a bunch of people at once, right when, like, TV technology took a huge jump, and, like, all of a sudden, like, you could see,
like
higher, like, yeah, not necessarily, like, that the movie looked better, but, like, TV resolution, like, took a huge jump,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, big TVs were, like, having, like, much higher visual, like...
Did you watch it at home?
I watched it at someone else's home, yeah, so after release... The TV was just so beautiful. It was, like, the first, like, HD TV I'd ever seen. And, like, watching New Moon on it was almost, like, really trippy because the video, like, frame rate was higher than anything I've ever seen before. And it almost looked fake, like, how quickly the people would move. And I feel like today we are just adjusted to, like, what that looks like. But I, like, very much remember not only, like, watching New Moon and liking it and, like, being, you know, a high school kid who let Pitchfork tell me whatever I wanted to do. So when I heard like Bon Iver in the movie,
I
was like, that's
I think
sick.
The album is like probably the most significant part for you.
Yeah.
And Eclipse, I don't know that I've, like, ever aired this, but Eclipse I saw when I was dating my, like, first actual serious high school girlfriend in theaters. We made out, like, the whole time. I would then go on to see it two or three more times.
Yeah.
But that first experience.
That's great.
Like the whole time. Like around a bunch of other people. It must have been so obnoxious.
That's really funny.
We've all been there.
I have not.
Well.
That's great. So, that was even better information than I ever could have hoped.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I meant waiting for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
I didn't realize that both of those films were so significant to your teenagehood.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Like, I'm very, like I said, that, like, TV tech, like, HD TV technology, like, New Moon is the movie that changed it all for me.
Wow.
Great.
I know.
Wow. And I'm glad you liked it. And the soundtracks.
Yeah, soundtracks are good.
Yeah.
They dip in quality pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, Breaking Dawn is not super great.
Yeah. We bought the Eclipse soundtrack today and we were listening to it.
Yeah.
There's some fun stuff on there.
Yeah.
It's definitely way different than the other two soundtracks. But Florence and the Machine is on there.
Yeah.
And like some other fine groups, but it's like totally a genre.
I wish they like would have like continued to like maybe pick songs that they felt like added an element to it, like Supermassive Black Hole, like not written for Twilight, but like a lot
of
the songs
of
that
would
go on to
written.
Be like originally written for it were ended up being some of like the worst ones.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
It's fair.
Yeah, like that CeeLo Green song.
Oh, yeah.
That's on the Eclipse soundtrack. We just didn't get to it.
Yeah.
Our next question is, what is your favorite Twilight related memory with us? So, like, what time that we forced you to watch a movie or
I think we would have had a great time when we watched the first one at like Sam's house, like in those moments of uncertainty and certainly denial from Sam.
I was really hoping that this would be the one that you talked about.
I bailed on my ex-girlfriend's party.
Mm-hmm.
And
you were at that party.
I was invited to it and it was weird, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be there anymore, and Lori offered me an out,
mm-hmm.
and that I was to walk to your house.
Yeah.
And it was significantly better than interacting with flirty strangers, people I didn't like.
Mm-hmm. And then behind
and then
the scenes...
I don't know, it felt really fun to, like, I was just, like, it was the first time that I feel like I was able to, like, watch that without it being, like, completely, like, picked apart. But also at the same time...
Oh, we're definitely not picking
it apart. But at the same time, like, there was some, you know, humor to just pointing out how just ridiculous.
Do you remember that we were actually watching Twilight with the commentary on?
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was my first exposure.
Yeah.
I was so shocked that you actually left that party to come over to Sam's house. And I was playing, like, the long game of setting them up, so this was, like, a really big moment for me personally in my career.
I do, like, low-key think that it was my idea. For him to come over.
I think you said it jokingly, and then I was like...
No, I think I was serious.
Yeah, I mean, like, you were serious because, like, it happened. But I was like, okay, let's do it. And then I got so stressed chugged an entire Angry Orchard.
I wasn't stressed. I was
aggressively.
Because you knew I was going to come over.
Yeah. And then we
force-fed you.
We force-fed you.
Apple crisp.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
We didn't have a container for you to eat it out of, so we gave you the whole apple crisp.
What you said to me was... I gave you, like, a fork and container, and you were like, you want me to dig my fork into this over and over again? You didn't want to, like, tank the apple crisp.
Yeah.
That was so fun. What Twilight character do you think you are most like? And I know that you're going to say the Parks and Rec character, and no, it doesn't count.
Oh. That's fair. I don't really know the answer to that.
Should we
question.
Take a personality quiz right now?
Yeah, let's do it.
That's fair.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more interested in taking this than I am in
speculating.
Yeah, and projecting.
Okay, what's your stance on love? Love. Like, I don't know.
You're gonna read like all 9 options every single time.
No, why don't you just tell us? Let's just talk about it out loud.
I need to read it again.
What's
your stance on love?
Do you think there's that you would kill for love, or that you're kind of a loner, or that you've had
I would say it's secretly I love it.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
Yeah.
I'll just verify the answers.
Yeah.
What about, how do you feel about blood? What the fuck? You tend to bleed a lot.
Yeah, I do bleed a lot. It also doesn't bother me.
I think that this is more specific to you, that you tend to bleed a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
People call you, not sporty.
Passionate.
Passionate? Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely passionate. About?
Beer.
Beer. Beer, music.
What's your favorite kind of meat? Humans is an option.
Humans
is an option. Deer is an option. I don't eat is an option.
I'm going for the realism with beef.
Okay.
Too easy to pick.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Extreme compassion.
Turning into an animal?
Manipulating emotions. Damn.
One of them is, nah, I'm cool.
Wait, I need more time to choose. Magic shield, reading minds, seeing the future.
What would the magic shield accomplish me?
You know how Bella...
That's like Bella's power.
She can protect her family and like people from other people's powers, like other vampire
that's
powers.
That's true.
And also, like,
you know, my family's not at risk in the same way.
Yeah, she can also shield her thoughts from mind readers. Which
no,
I guess
I
is really only useful if you're around other mind readers.
Yeah.
Which only turned out to be like two people, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking the animal morphing. I'm
wow.
into that.
You're
turning
gonna,
into
what animal
Jacob.
Would you turn into?
I don't. Something that. Well, like I was hoping for, like you
a
know, like
bug.
Invisibility here, or like flying, or something like that. So turn into an animal that can visible.
Okay,
fly.
So you're gonna get Jacob as an answer.
Yeah.
Hope you're okay with that. Which one is the coolest instrument? Guitar, cello, banjo, piano, flute, drums, saxophone, fiddle, the voice. Duh. Are you gonna pick banjo?
I'm going drums.
Drums.
Oh.
Wow. Edgy. What's your favorite body part? Back, hands, hair, abs, skin. Smile, feet, eyes, weird question.
Feet.
Definitely not
Stop.
Feet.
No. Definitely not feet. I don't know, back.
Okay. Where would you spend your dream honeymoon? South Africa, road trip, Brazil, Paris, Southern Mansion, what the fuck? Hawaii, Italy, hunting somewhere? Don't say that one.
No.
Or I don't care.
Southern Mansion, that's like the worst choice.
Do they mean plantation?
Yeah, they literally do.
Is that
mean
supposed
plant.
To be Jasper, maybe?
I think France.
France
just
is
because
not
we're
on
close
here.
To.
Belgium.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, Paris. Because it's close to Belgium?
Yeah.
Okay. Finally, what is your opinion on vampires? You want to be one. They're not all demonic. They're monsters. They're gross. They're burdens. They're powerful.
Wow, hot ones.
Like hot ones.
Do it.
You gotta take a plaque.
We knew
That's
this was coming.
Disappointing.
That's really sad.
I feel like if
you're
we,
definitely not Jacob.
I know.
Just,
I feel like if we just did this over again and I just decided to like choose that I didn't want to turn into animals, I bet like I don't get it again. I'm gonna just gonna absolutely just cruise right through this.
Yeah, I can't have you be Jacob.
Yeah, that's not acceptable.
Okay, so
yeah, what is your superpower here?
That's probably reading minds or manipulating emotions. It's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Some sociopathic shit.
I would read minds.
Reading minds it is.
Yeah, I think everyone would read minds, honestly.
Yeah, see, I get Victoria when I decide to not be an animal.
I kind
of
like that.
It says, yeah, no one better cross you, mess with you, and it's a death sentence. You're not one to play games, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to reach your goals, no matter how bloody it can get. But life doesn't always have to be filled with hate, just blood, lots of blood.
I'm kind of here for it.
Sure.
I love that. Feeling word?
Surprised?
Surprised
yeah.
Why?
By how easy it is for me to talk about Twilight.
You want to co-host a podcast? Who's your favorite Twilight character?
Mm-hmm.
Who's my favorite? Carlisle Cullen.
Yeah.
He's just kind of going on. Kind of in a gay way. And also in like a brilliant kind of way.
Yeah.
I feel like he kind of presents himself as someone who's kind of like holding together, you know, what they're doing. Just chilling. I feel like the ability for all those people to like live their lives is thanks to like him holding it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Also, hot doctor.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Can you imagine having? You're 25. Can you imagine having like a bunch of adopted teenagers right now?
No.
Like if we had.
Like also,
four
having
adopted
like, put myself
teenagers.
Through med school too.
Yeah. Several
Multiple
times. Hey, can you imagine having been alive for 400 years? Quick question.
Think about it.
That's gotta be shitty as like a doctor though, because like you can't just like be like, oh yeah, I learned this 400 years ago.
No, you have to keep going back to med school.
Yeah. Also, like you probably were a really shitty doctor at first.
Yeah.
Before like science.
Yeah.
Like
Maybe I wonder if it like took him a while to get over leeches.
Ugh.
You know? Which is like such, I mean, bloodletting in general would have been a really weird time for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, if you could give some advice to our listeners, what would it be?
Follow your niche dreams.
That's good.
They'll never let you down.
And what are we plugging this week?
I think that we should all plug our favorite pair of socks.
Okay. I can go.
Okay, go ahead.
My favorite pair of socks is a pair of slipper socks that I have with me. They're just like no-show socks, like that size or like that height.
You're not done.
You have to plug your favorite pair of socks.
I'll be right there.
Okay. they're like the like height of like no-show socks, but
yeah,
they're like fuzzy on the inside,
mm,
and then they have like, you know how like bunnies feel? It's like synthetic. It's not real bunny,
mm-hmm,
but. But it's that's on the outside, and it has, like, no slip,
mm-hmm,
grips. And then I keep them in my purse when I travel so that I can wear them on planes and, like, buses and stuff. Because I wear Birkenstocks everywhere, and my feet get cold.
My favorite pair of socks is probably just, like, wool socks. But then, like, I have these cool socks that I'm going to say are my favorite right now. Just for fun. Because they look like a library card. Like
mm-hmm,
the one that's in a library book that you take out. Like,
yeah,
the yellow lined one.
Yeah.
That they, like, punch stuff on.
Mm-hmm.
I have socks that look like that.
What's your favorite pair of socks?
I have a great pair of socks that are red and black houndstooth. I love them. I like love that design, but I like don't own anything else in it. But the Soulmate socks that Sam got me are really good too.
Oh, I love my Soulmate
those
socks.
Are great. Plug those.
Thanks for letting us interview you.
Oh,
yeah, thanks
welcome
for letting
you
us interview you.
Follow Alex on Instagram at up down left. Right, and right is spelled with a W.
W. Yep.
That's it.
All right, thanks for listening.
Do you want to say your sign off?
He doesn't.
That's
neither do we ever.
No. But it's Brandy.
Yeah.
That's all forks.
4King. All of season 1 is now streaming.
To stay updated about the podcast, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Gender4King.
For more Twilight content from us, you can follow our blog at bowlingshirtbellas.tumblr.com. For other inquiries, email us at bowlingshirtbellas@gmail.com.
If you're interested in supporting the production and maintenance of this podcast, head to patreon.com/gender4king. The music you are hearing is from O Lucifer.